Nashville weather for today, scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly this afternoon with mostly sunny skies and the high in the lower 90s. Right now, under mostly cloudy skies, it's 81 degrees in Nashville. The time is 9 o'clock.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, Public Radio's game with words and facts where the knowledge is passed down from father to son.
My father taught me that the navel is used for storing salt when you're eating tomatoes in bed.
It's the game where the best clues to the answers are the experiences of a lifetime.
I once rang the bell at a Harvard dorm, and
I'll say she did.
What goes in the bell tower stays in the bell tower.
So come hear the kind of humor that would make my father proud. His motto, when writing comedy, always steal quality.
And even though Richard Schur cannot show his face at WGBH when we say it, this isn't... No,
right. It wasn't bad, actually. Yeah. Says You, coming up next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The victims of Friday's attacks in Norway are being remembered today. Norway's king and queen joined mourners who packed Oslo Cathedral for an emotional service. In all, at least 92 people were killed. Police say the suspect has confessed but does not accept criminal responsibility. The U.S. has invited North Korea's vice foreign minister to New York. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from Bali, Indonesia. The invitation comes after North and South Korean officials met on the sidelines of a regional security summit.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton invited Vice Foreign Minister and former nuclear negotiator Kim Gae-gwan following a trilateral meeting yesterday with her South Korean and Japanese counterparts. Secretary Clinton said Washington wanted to verify Pyongyang's stated intention to return to six-party nuclear disarmament talks, which have not been held since 2008. Clinton stressed that while the U.S. was open to talks with North Korea, it did not intend to reward the North just for resuming negotiations. The U.S., she added, is also not interested in granting North Korea new concessions in exchange for old promises it has reneged on. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Bali.
It will still be hot, but forecasters expect the heat wave to ease up a bit today. National Weather Service forecaster Michael Eckert says temperatures will moderate somewhat.
In the eastern U.S., it looks like the heat will continue to slowly subside. We'll get back to more normal readings in the upper 80s to lower 90s. The heat will continue over the central and southern plains eastward into the Ohio Valley, so it looks like the heat warnings will remain up in effect for those areas, and they could expand.
The heat wave that initially developed over the Midwest last week is being blamed for causing more than a dozen deaths as it moved eastward. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner is blaming politics as Congress pushes the deadline to raise the debt ceiling.
We started this process 7 months ago. Here we are 7 months later. We're running out of runway. We're almost at the edge. I never thought they would take it this close to the edge and let politics get in the way of demonstrating we'll pay our bills on time.
Geithner speaking there on Fox News Sunday. Congressional leaders are working this weekend to show they are making progress on a plan to raise the debt limit. NPR's Nora Rahm reports House Speaker John Boehner wants to announce what he described as a viable framework by 4 p.m. Eastern time.
That's before the financial markets open in Asia. A possible U.S. default on its debts would make investors nervous. The president met with Boehner and other congressional leaders for about an hour yesterday with no sign of progress. He told them Congress must produce a plan by Monday that would clear the way for an increase in the debt limit. Republicans say they won't agree to raise the debt ceiling without large cuts in federal spending. The president wants some tax increases as part of any agreement. Congress has until a week from Tuesday to raise the limit, or the U.S. won't have enough money to pay its bills. Nora Rahm, NPR News, Washington.
And you're listening to NPR News. Five people were shot to death at a roller rink in West Texas last night. Detective John Brimmer told KDFW-TV it happened during a child's birthday party.
There was an argument that began, and then during the course of that argument, the person who did the shooting had a weapon, pulled it out, and just started shooting.
Besides the five deaths, four people were wounded. The man then killed himself. The killings took place in Grand Prairie, Texas, about 20 miles west of Dallas. Names of victims have not been released, but police say the children and rink employees escaped harm. Following the recent deaths of three hikers swept over a waterfall in California's Yosemite National Park, Officials are renewing their warnings to visitors to be cautious. Bob Hensley of Capital Public Radio reports that waterfalls and a river that flows through the park are still raging because of large snowmelt.
The three deaths bring the total water-related fatalities at Yosemite this year to six. Six other hikers have died from other types of accidents. Now that people are flocking to the park in significant numbers to seek relief from the hot weather, officials are making sure that every visitor is aware of the potential perils. Carrie Cobb is a spokeswoman for Yosemite.
We hand out literature at the entrance station that talks about some of those dangers and what to look out for. In addition, at some of our most popular hiking trails that may have a sudden drop-off or are next to water, there are signs posted along the trail.
Despite an extensive search, the hikers from the latest incident haven't been located. Officials say given the high water level of the river they fell into, it could be a while before the bodies are recovered. For NPR News, I'm Bob Hensley in Modesto, California.
And I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Carnegie Corporation of New York, a foundation created to do what Andrew Carnegie called real and permanent good, celebrating 100 years of philanthropy.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Vermont comes from the good folks at Vermont Public Radio and the Basin Harbor Club, celebrating 125 years of hospitality on the shores of Lake Champlain. On the web at basinharbor.com.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scher.
Thank you. Thank you. From the Basin Harbor Club on the Vermont shores of Lake Champlain, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He's climbed Mount Rainier, flown over the Matterhorn, but it's here in the Green Mountains that he's peaked. Barry Nolan. Jeez. She's kayaked and canoed from sea to sea, but it's Lake Champlain floats her boat. Francine Akbar. And he always goes to the seashore to get loose, but he comes to Vermont to get stiff. Mr. Tony Khan.
I'll be leaving presently. If I understand half of what you said.
Who is the captain this time?
Barry.
It's the old Matterhorn.
Barry will be the captain. To my left, team two, he's our Beltway insider, our man in Foggy Bottom, a regular Capitol fellow, Murray Horwitz. Gee. She proudly carries her native Boston background and seldom comes off full of beans, Carolyn Faye Fox. And she's thought of as big in Little Compton, but she's a sporty compact up here, Miss Lenore Shannon. Who receives the mantle of leadership?
I think it's me, and I'm going to need to sit on Tony's book for this one.
Lenore will be the captain.
I thought I'd start the day with some pep presents for my teammates. And so we stopped by this charming, Tony was with us actually, this charming resale store called Sweet Charity. And so for Carolyn, Poca 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 with Paul Potsky and his Pumpernickels.
Oh, Lenore!
Excellent.
Not many people know this. You don't know, this is rare, because Paul Potsky was the Polish-Cambodian dictator. Not many people know
that. No. Feel free to express yourselves.
And for my friend Murray, who knows his way around a musical, Hot Honky Tonk Piano, Hap O'Hallahan on the Ricky Ticky.
All right.
I am so happy to be here. We had a little incident where a tire on the car went flat, which was noticed immediately by Fletcher at the front door. A few other guys showed up, and before 20 minutes went by, I had a spare tire on my car. It was amazing. It was like AAA, but with really good-looking guys. Love it.
I'm actually missing a tire on my car. Not to point a finger.
No, I wouldn't want to do that. Correct answers are worth 10 points, or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. And some people came with pen and paper earrings, which I thought was absolutely wonderful.
Really?
You're
right.
Let's begin. Perhaps we'd all be a little handier if we knew what specific tools and hardware were used for.
Oh,
hence, this category called If I Had a Hammer. For 7 points, please describe the following tools, and for an additional 3, tell me what I might most effectively use them for. That's a terrible sentence. Tell me when I might most effectively use them. Carolyn, a keyhole saw.
A keyhole saw is what you would use to inflict injury upon yourself.
10 points, yeah, it's very good. That's correct. But I do need you to flesh that out just a little bit.
A keyhole saw is something you would use to saw into a lock to make a keyhole.
Well,
that's one of the worst things.
Yeah, no. You use it inside a small hole to saw out and around. That's what you use.
That is one use. Yeah, can you describe it at all?
It's like eating your way out of a cheesecake.
Long, thin, and narrow.
Yeah, and sharp.
Is it the thing that has the little rotor on the end of it that goes around
No.
Okay.
It's a tiny, narrow, long saw that you...
Yes, often tapered, but not always, but often tapered. Yeah, I'm glad that you got the 10 points for that. Anybody want to help on this side?
It's what you use if somebody sees you looking in a keyhole. What are you doing? I'm sawing.
Just the kind of help I was looking for.
It's actually a category of evidence in a divorce case. How do you know? Keyhole saw.
Keyhole saw, yeah. It's also called a pad saw, an alligator saw, a lot of other things, a drywall saw. But it's a long, narrow, sometimes tapered saw used for cutting small, often awkward features in various building materials and, of course, making holes bigger, as you said. Very good. Try this one, Tony. What might the following tool be? Nibblers.
Oh, no.
It's what I used to have right here. Under I've since become personalized, plasticized creatures from China.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like anything I could really pound my thumb with.
No, you couldn't pound your thumb with this.
Nibbler, it's a tool that you use of getting yourself very quietly out of really tricky situations.
I think Barry can help you.
I think Barry might be
Barry
able to help
you. Barry is making a gesture here.
It looks like a tweezer. He's making a tweezer gesture?
Not so much a tweezer. Isn't a nibbler a thing that helps you get a grasp of a small edge of something so that you can break it off or move it? Kind of like pliers.
Yeah. Well, you know what? With their knowledge of tools, that's a 10-point answer. Yes, that's a 10-point answer I'll hear about for months, I'm sure.
Is it a kind of clamp? I think it's a clamp.
No, not really. No. It is used to cut sheet metal without bending or distorting the metal, as opposed to snips or shears. And it is that little pliers-like device that you hold the metal with so that when you go to cut it, you can cut flat edges. Try this one. Oh, I love this. Try this one, Murray. What might the following things be used for, and describe them? Fish wires.
Fish wires.
Well, if you can't get a salmon on the phone.
And Lord knows we've all had that problem.
Listen, a fish wire, I'm wondering if this is also a cutting tool.
It is not a cutting tool,
well,
but
then I'm wondering
think about
that no longer.
Oh, right.
Wait a minute.
It's a snaking tool.
A fish wire is when you go into to hook something or to get something out of a small space.
Do you have anything in particular that you would use it for?
to grab a, an electrician would use it to grab a wire that's in a wall.
Yes. Come on, girl.
I don't know how she knows this, but that's a very good mission. That's exactly
I haven't the faintest
right.
idea how I know.
So you can also use it to grab an electrician.
Yes, you can grab an electrician.
Stuck behind
if you use it at home, you might be electrocuted.
Electricians attach their wires in this narrow little strip of flexible steel to enable them to fish them through conduit and walls much more easily, and that's exactly what that is. Very good. Try this one, Francine. What might you use the following for? French curves.
Oh. That's, you know, like it's like a protractor, only it's
I think what Francine might use French curves for is different from what I might use French
You never know.
She is well endowed with them already. But it is a drafting tool, isn't it?
It's a drafting tool, isn't it?
Richard, is it a drafting tool?
Or what?
Yes, it's a drafting tool. It is a drafting tool.
I hear it's a drafting tool.
And it enables you to make curves.
Once again, you don't want to push this too hard. Anybody want to just give a... What does it look like?
Yeah, it's like a...
like that. Okay, fine. That was
like
good.
It's a see-through piece of plastic that has markings on it that help you determine where the marks go.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a kind of... On the corner. Je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, it's a kind of
curve. With a quelque chose to it. That
right. I always think of a G-clef or something like that. It looks a little
like
that.
It looks like a wave, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It looks like a wave.
What is it used for, actually?
But it's it has many different types of curves are carved into them, and they're used in manual drafting, quite often for molding.
Yes.
To create moldings.
Yes, molding.
Try this one, Lenore. If you get this, I won't believe it. What might you use a creeper for?
A creeper... is used to catch fish.
With a fish wire.
A creeper.
This is different from a creepy crawler.
It's also called, and I will give you this, and it's also called a creeper dolly.
Yeah, that's for fixing cars.
So dolly. You get on your back and go under the car on it.
Boy, they're really getting there. Very good. When your mechanic slides out from under your car and tells you the bad news... He's lying on a creeper dolly, so that's what that is. Very
then
good.
Then you lie down on it after he tells you how much it's going to cost.
They haul
that transmission.
And even though Richard Scher cannot show his face at WGBH when we say it, this isn't... No,
right. That wasn't bad, actually. Yeah. And finally, Barry, try this one. What's a knee kicker? Think this one through.
A knee kicker.
Well, what household things have knees in them? Because it probably is used to straighten out a bent something.
Well, it's used to straighten out something in a way.
I know Mo used to use it to straighten out Curly.
Yeah, right.
Oh, just a minute. Is this to do with heating pipes that make an angle?
What a wonderful guess. Incorrect, but a wonderful guess.
Okay.
No, it does not.
Knee kicker.
A knee kicker. So, it does involve something that's bent.
In a way, but I don't want to throw you off too much.
Something's
with that.
Bent in a way, but that would be...
Is it to do with protecting your knees?
Well, part of it is to protect your knees, but part of it has another function.
It's... What you use to let your spouse know under the table that you are not going to pay the estimate.
Yeah. This is used in installing wall-to-wall carpet.
He is exactly right.
Gary.
That was a good one. How did you come up with that one, Etta?
Having once watched someone work.
Yes, exactly.
I was exhausted by the experience, but clearly informed by the experience.
Wow. That was great. Wow. It's used to pull carpet tight during installation by gripping the carpet on one end and having a padded end to slam with your knee on the other side, pulling it in the direction you want. That's what it is. Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little help from the Will Patton Quartet. Thanks, guys. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Lenore, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The other two have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot good enough to fool Barry's team. 10 points are up for grabs to Barry if he can locate the truth teller, or to you, Lenore, if he can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word flug. F-L-U-G, flug. Gentlemen? An update for our listeners in Hartford, Connecticut and Seattle, Washington. Says You's coming your way this fall. On Saturday, September 24th, we're at St. Joseph College in West Hartford, and then in November, it's back to Seattle for live performances. Tickets, information, and details are available at saysyou.net. S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. The rest of our schedule will be posted shortly, but for now, remember, September in Hartford, and November in Seattle, Says You, live. Says You returns after this from home.
More than half of the U.S. has been sweltering this week. It's the worst heat wave in over 15 years. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Heidi Cullen, climate research scientist and author of The Weather of the Future, about extreme weather and new climate normals. Join us.
Weekdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m.
Hi, it's us, Click and Clack, the Tappan Brothers.
You know, people develop strong attachments to their cars.
Yeah, and it's very hard to tell them. It's time to move on.
Something my brother's heard from every one of his wives.
Anyway, we have a way to ease the pain a bit. Now you can donate your car, and the net proceeds from its sale will benefit this station.
Interested? We thought so. Here's what to do.
For information on supporting Nashville Public Radio with your vehicle donation, visit our website, WPLN.org.
You're listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio. Support for our programming comes from you, the listener. You can become a member or renew your membership online anytime at WPLN.org. Time is 9:22. It's 82 degrees in Nashville.
Coming to our town. Where can I find old shows? Who played that music I heard last week? So many questions, all answered on our website at saysyou.net. There you can find tickets to tapings, Dally on the Daily Dispatch, or access our complete archive. You can contribute a question to the show and absorb ridicule on a national scale. This and more at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. The Will Patton Ensemble. That's Will Patton on mandolin, David Gusakoff on the violin, Clyde Statz on the bass, and Dono Shabner on the Martin D18. Nice to see you guys. Thank you. Let me take a moment and introduce our scorekeepers. That's Lucas Keating and Noah Dart. Thank you guys for keeping the score. We have had a few moments with the word flug. We will go first to Carolyn Fay Fox.
Flug, the process of setting up traffic cones. Flug 'em, Dano.
The process of setting up traffic cones.
She stands by that.
Is to flug.
Profile and courage.
All right. It could be that. Or it could be something else. Murray?
I actually, straight up, I've lived through one of these one time when, as a boy coming back from a fishing trip in Canada with my father and a friend of his who was a pilot, coming back in a Piper Cherokee, I think, and landing at the Dayton Municipal Airport, the wind shifted, like, all of a sudden, and the air traffic controller had not told him about it, and the motor stalled, and we almost got blown. It was really scary. And he went in and raised a ruckus with the air traffic controller. A flug is a sudden shift in wind direction, and the only derivation I could think of for it was if somebody called up and said, "You want to fly? Ugh, the wind is shifting."
Feel free to boo at any time. I don't want to stifle
your
initiative.
I can take it. Yeah. I can take it. Is that all you got?
I like to hear that kind of self-expression. That's what we're all about here. It could be that. It could be the sudden change in wind direction, or it could be something else. Lenore?
Well, actually, it's lint that accumulates in old stuff that's been hanging around for a really long time. For instance, when my son finished school this year, he had worn his blazer for two straight years. He went to school where you had to wear a jacket, and we really had enough to make a stuffed animal when we emptied his pockets. It also might be the kind of lint that you would find in body parts that you have. Body parts that could accumulate lint or things like
I
that.
I think we got the drift here. Yeah, I think we're...
It's lint that accumulates someplace where it's not supposed to. How about that?
Lint.
Where is it supposed
lint.
To accumulate?
In the lint trap.
In the lint trap, I guess, would be the only place.
Flug.
So, you know, I set up the lint trap, and, you know, it just doesn't attract all the lint in the house. It doesn't trap it.
Yeah, what am I paying for here?
Yeah,
anyway.
Exactly.
All I know is I tried to make a joke. It was, you know, and I got booed. She's talking about lint in your body parts, and it's like, oh.
Well, have you ever tried it?
That's true.
Well, it is either lint that accumulates in pockets and body parts, a sudden change in wind direction, or the process of setting up traffic cones. It is one of the three, and the choice, Barry, is yours.
Flug.
Flug.
Gotta admire the way Carolyn just went for it, you know, without any filigrees, any little playing with the words. She had the pride of somebody who had the truth or was lying through her teeth.
Francine?
I think the Carolyn one is questionable.
Suspect.
Yes, I think the Lenore one is questionable.
My father taught me that the navel is used for storing salt when you're eating tomatoes in bed. And
I'm learning so much more than
father.
I wanted to.
Yeah, right.
I'm not sure what to make of the wind shift because I don't know about that one.
I think it's the lint.
You do?
Yes.
Why not?
All right.
Okay.
Yes, folks, that's how we reach our decision. A careful, judicious process of winging it.
I'm just going to say that my husband flies a little plane, and I've heard a lot of expressions around flight and the like, and
yeah,
I've never heard...
Flug means flight in German, doesn't it?
You would know better than me.
Yeah, but I think he probably knows it too, Murray, so maybe he's trying to trip up the
news to me.
Part of me that knows what he knows.
Well, I've spent a lot of time around lint.
Yeah.
Then I hope you'll give us the benefit of your lint time in service.
And I think the word flug would fit nicely in that community with which I'm so familiar. So can we vote for that?
Good for you.
We'll go with Lenore, and flug is a form of lint.
Lenore, they have come to... Well, actually, the captain has come to the decision that flug means lint that accumulates
I don't want to discuss it. Is that what it is?
Flug. Lint found in navels and in the pockets. Old, seldom worn.
That's exactly what it is. Right.
Those long years in lint land paid off.
I knew that someday all that time spent around lint would come in well spent.
Are you the one that does the laundry at your house?
I just do my lint. I mean, my laundry.
Boy, that was an uneasy silence there for a minute, right. Wasn't it? That's that laundry question. Let's go on to round three. Keith Heiberg of Brighton, Massachusetts, suggests we try a quick little round of infamous last words. Please tell me the famous individual whose tombstone bears the following epitaph. Oh. Carolyn, blessed be the man that spares these stones, and cursed be he that moves my bones.
Shakespeare.
William Shakespeare is exactly right. 10 points. Try this one, Tony. Mm-hmm. Who is buried neath the tombstone that reads, "The best is yet to come"?
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Yes.
The best is yet to come. Either somebody with a wonderful sense of humor or a truly sweet disposition. Oh. Somebody in show business, perhaps?
Yeah, Wallace Beery, but it says Edna Best is yet to come.
Oh! Could it be somebody like Ed Sullivan?
It is not Ed Sullivan. That's a good guess. I like that.
I know Johnny Carson was, "I'll be back in a minute."
Is that right? I didn't have that.
I think so. Best is yet to come. Excuse Barry, me. You know the guy, Peter Pan, what's his name?
James M. Barry?
No.
I don't think they're going to get it.
Is this a show?
How about
person?
Darwin? Darwin.
If it isn't, it should be. So I'm going to give you a few points for Darwin. It is a show business figure. I'll give you one more shot at it.
W.C. Fields.
No.
It is not.
No.
And
it's somebody involved in music.
It sure is.
And it's the best is yet to come. It's da-da-da-da-da-da.
George, no, it's not Gershwin.
To come, won't it be fun?
Oh, my goodness.
Is it Frank Sinatra?
It's Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra.
Best yet to come.
I'll give this side 5 points for show business and Charles Darwin. I think that's the most I can squeeze out of that. Try this one, Murray. Who rests neath the tombstone that says, "Together again"?
Wow.
Who had a split
personality? Oh, my God. Could it be?
What's this consultation going with? Yeah. Together again.
Together again.
Well, someone died first in a couple.
It is more than one person buried. Together again.
So, who's in
there? Abbott and Costello.
George Washington and Martha?
No.
I've been
Richard
there,
Burton and Elizabeth.
That.
No.
Grant and Ulysses Grant and his wife?
No. It's somebody in show business.
It sure is.
Okay.
Batman and Robin.
George.
Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz.
No.
No, it's why can't I think of his name?
George Burns.
George Burns and Gracie.
George Burns and Gracie Allen is exactly right.
Jack Benny, I'm confusing him with Jack Benny.
You got there. Do I give him the full 10 or?
Yeah.
Okay, full 10 points. You got there. You worked it out. Full 10 points for that.
We get 10 points.
All right. Try this one, Francine.
Great.
Who is buried neath the marker that reads, "A tomb now suffices him for whom the whole world was not enough"?
Oh.
An explorer?
Well, not really. Not an explorer so much.
An astronomer?
No. Good guess, though.
Not a scientist?
No.
Okay. Not ex-Alexander Pope, either.
For whom the whole world was not enough.
Yep. That's the clue. A tomb now suffices him for whom the whole world was not enough.
This is someone who went out in space.
It is not.
The language is a little flowery for the space era.
Yeah.
Remember that dog, Laika?
I think so. Yeah.
His last words were, "Houston, I've got a problem."
I should know that.
How about the poet who said, "The world is too much with us"?
Oh, what a great guess. No, you'll get points for that. This goes back a way.
Yeah. Alexander the Great.
Yeah, see, there's where it is. Alexander the Great. I'm going to give you 8 points for that. We did coax it out a little bit.
Where's the ding?
Well, what do you think? 10 points?
George Burns, Gracie Allen?
Yeah, I did.
We'll take eight if you'll give Francine a ding.
Fine. Problem solved. You get 8 points for that.
Kind of a Pavlovian player.
I guess. Lenore, who might be buried neath the marker that reads, "There goes the neighborhood."
Wow. Groucho Marx?
Not Groucho Marx.
But it is somebody in comedy, right? It's a comedian.
W.C. Fields?
No. W.C. Fields' epitaph was, "I would rather be living in Philadelphia."
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, but don't give away the next question or anything.
Wait a minute. There goes the neighborhood. Oh, boy.
There goes the neighborhood.
Bob Hope?
No, he wouldn't.
Rodney Dangerfield.
Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, beautiful.
That's exactly right. How about we give them the 8 points to even it out? Is that fair?
No. And a ding.
Yes, of course.
Do you know, my husband and son got me one of those bells, and they put it on the second floor, and instead of yelling their name, Eric or Alec, they make me ding the bell instead, and they report.
But don't you like dinging the bell?
Well, I love it because it's
but now you
fantastic.
Got all these suitcases on the first floor.
All right. And true to form, Barry always gets the hardest one, but try to figure this one out, Barry. Who might be buried neath the marker that reads, "He lies here somewhere"?
The mad bomber.
The guy that discovered nitroglycerin.
You're going to get points for that, but no, that's not. He lies here somewhere.
He lies here. Was this an explorer?
No.
No. Entertainment?
Nope. Not that either.
It's not an explorer. It's not a person in entertainment.
Now, in fairness, was it a burial at sea?
No.
Oh, no.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
It would be...
Ooh. Just hold on.
Oh, of course. What's his name? You know, the gangster. Jimmy Hoffa.
Oh, what a wonderful
guest. Yeah. That's a sign at the Meadowlands.
Yeah, that's it. You walk in. Do you actually think he is buried beneath the 5-yard line at the Meadowlands? I think I don't go to Lenore, she's going to explode over there. Who do you think, Lenore?
Houdini.
No, what a great guess.
Well, it should have been.
Yeah, it should have been. He lies here somewhere. But, of course, we're not really sure. We can never really be sure that he's here.
Because he's a tricky...
Because we're not sure he died.
An invisible man.
No. Anybody from the audience want to give it a shot? Heisenberg is exactly right.
Oh!
From
the back of the room. What a great thing!
Werner Heisenberg... He of the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, which of course says you can't trust any experiment because your observation compromises you. So he lies here somewhere.
Actually, it was you can know the exact momentary location or the vector, but not both simultaneously.
Thank you. I appreciate that because...
Wow.
That...
You know what? I'm grateful. Because write that, because that, I want that to be my epitaph. I really do. You can know the location, but not the...
What?
Have you ever thought about what you wanted for your epitaph?
No, but I will tell you my favorite epitaph. There was a wonderful comedian named Harry Hirschfeld. And Harry Hirschfeld... There was this big article, if you ever want to look this up, in Vanity Fair, the old Vanity Fair, edited by Frank Crowninshield in the 1920s, and he asked famous people what they wanted for their epitaph. And that's where W.C. Fields wrote, "I would rather be living in Philadelphia," and Dorothy Parker wrote, "Excuse my dust." But the best was Harry Hirschfeld, who said, "Here lies the body of Harry Hirschfeld, Esquire. If not, please notify M. Shapiro and Sons Undertakers."
Uh-huh. I love it. I've often thought on my tombstone I wanted written, "This I hadn't counted on."
No, I would like, you know, it, with great respect and love, could I say, it should say, "Here lies the body of Richard Schur, says you."
Oh, wonderful.
Maybe yes, maybe no. Let's go on to round four, which is Barry's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following words. Two will bluff. 10 points, Lenore, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to come up with a definition for the word noop. K-N-O-U-P. Noop. Gentlemen?
Instant soup?
Here's a quick reminder for our listeners in Hartford, Connecticut and Seattle, Washington. On Saturday, September 24th, we return to St. Joseph College in West Hartford. And then in November, it's back to Seattle for live performances of the show. Tickets, information, and details are available at sezyou.net, where if you follow that Join the Fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. The rest of our schedule will be posted shortly, but for now, remember, September in Hartford, November in Seattle. Sezyou live. Briefly, Sezyou pauses. We'll be right back.
As the country inches toward the August 2nd deadline for default on its debt, Wall Street is preparing for a doomsday scenario. On to the point, how can Republicans and Democrats strike a deal if they can't see eye to eye on taxes and spending? How did raising the debt ceiling get to be such a crisis? Next time on To the Point from Public Radio International.
Weeknights at 8 o'clock.
Jane Gross created the New York Times New Old Age blog after she accompanied her mother through unfamiliar territory of life, the way we live longer now and die more slowly too. She tells us that we not only have to care for our parents, but for ourselves. I'm Krista Tippett. Join me for an eloquent and honest conversation about the far shore of aging. That's from APM.
Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock.
You're listening to Says You here on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio. Coming up in about 17 minutes at 10 o'clock, Studio 360. Then at 11 o'clock, it's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Right now the time is 9:42 and it's 83 degrees in Nashville.
Folks from Vermont to San Francisco, Booth Bay, Maine to Cleveland, Boston to Los Angeles, everyone who came out last year to join the fun at a live performance of Says You. Next season's schedule of tapings will be posted shortly on our website at sezyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. Just follow that Join the Fun link, and we'll show you how to join the fun. That's the Will Patton Ensemble. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Very nice. We've had a few moments with the word noop. We will go first to Tony Khan.
Well, I spent, as I was telling someone at lunch, I spent 2 years in the Boy Scouts making it to second class. And my downfall was knots. And no matter what knot I tried to master, it always ended up as a noop. Kind of like a mix between a granny knot and a bowl of tapioca pudding. So, no, actually, it's not. It's one of these onomatopoeic words, I think, you know, word based on the sound that it makes. It's a horse pill dispenser. You know how you... And I think it's probably the sound when the horse blows first.
Nope.
Nope. So, horse pill dispenser.
A horse pill dispenser.
Horse pill
the
dispenser.
The old, you know, pharmaceutical blowgun that you use there. That's a noop. Yeah, it could be. Or it could be something else. Francine, what's your take?
Well, Tony was actually, surprisingly, going down the right road with knots and ropes, because noop has to do with the swinging rope motion that makes a church bell ring.
Has to do with it?
It has to do with it.
Yes.
What exactly does it have to do with it?
It's a friendly relationship.
If you noop that rope, you're making the bell ring.
The swinging of the bell rope is nooping the bell.
Or canooping.
Or canooping, right. You canoop. In Sweden, you canoop.
Careful not to canuck yourself.
You're right. You're ringing that church bell, you're nooping by pulling the rope back and forth. That could be it. Or Barry, what say you?
Noop is soup for people with pneumonia. No, I'm kidding.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you very much. Noop is a wire hanger for tools.
That's it. A wire hanger for tools is a noop.
Speaking of tools, as we were earlier.
That could be it. It could be
you
that
could
wire...
You could put your French hips on your noop.
Yes.
It could be that wire hanger for tools. It could be ringing the church bell, or it could be the horse pill dispenser. It's one of those three, and the choice, Lenore, falls to you.
Well, I just can't imagine going up to a horse, getting its mouth open, and then getting a to do a to blow a. Well, first you'd have to get him to tip his head back, because otherwise he'd just go and it would come out. I think you... does a horse take a pill?
I was just going to say.
Of course they do.
So let's just table that for now. The swinging motion that rings the bell, does it say what figure... Is it a noun, Francine, or is it a verb, or could you maybe...
Yes.
Is she allowed to ask those questions?
No, am I?
She's allowed to ask them.
So well, now wait just a minute.
To
right, it's a part of speech.
Okay.
Well, actually, you have hit a nerve, Lenore, because I think she kind of shifted in her answer. At first, it was the motion, or it had to do with the motion.
Mm-hmm.
Then she said, well, if you actually swing a rope, you are nooping. And make up your mind, Francine.
Okay.
Well, she might be thinking of looping.
And then a wire hanger for tools. Didn't I tell you no wire hangers?
Right.
So I don't know if Richard would go to the toolbox twice in one show, necessarily.
I once rang the bell at a Harvard dorm, and nobody
else did.
Thanks, class of 1980 Harvard graduates, please keep your mouths shut. Right.
I never heard the word noop.
Right, and you would have.
So that
goes
was a way
in the bell tower stays in the bell tower.
And Murray, what do you...
I think a horse pill... excuse me. A horse pill dispenser, it's kind of like, Willie, hand me that noop. I just don't see it. I mean, I'm not saying... Whereas, excuse me, a wire hanger for tools sounds like it's plausible to me.
Also sounds like a loop, though.
Well, much as I'd like to see this drone on and on...
Lenore, you're the captain.
Oh, this is what I hate about captaining.
Which one do you...
Horse pill dispenser.
No,
don't do that. Don't do that. Just stop. No, which one do you favor?
Children, don't do this at home.
Either Francine or Barry pick one. Either Francine or Barry pick one.
Francine
was shifting a lot and imprecise.
Yeah, she was very
shifting. Fine, Francine then.
You're going to pick Francine.
Yes, it's peer pressure. I think it's the horse pill dispenser because it's so ridiculous.
And which one are you going with? You're the captain.
Horse pill dispenser.
You go there. You go.
Let's have it.
What do you think, audience? Was that a good decision on her part? No, well, mixed reviews.
Yay! Yeah.
Mixed reviews, but let's see. The captain has stepped up and said that Noop is the horse pill dispenser, Tony. Is that, in fact, what a Noop is?
Noop.
It is not. Okay, audience, what do you think it is? How many say the hanger? How many say the ringing the church bell? Oh. Well, this audience is going big time for the wire hanger for tools. Is that what it is, Barry?
No.
It is not. Because the answer actually is...
No. To ring the church bell.
That's what it is. 10 points for Barry's team.
This show needs more whimsy.
I will tell you that horses do take pills.
It's a barn burner out there going into the last
here
round.
In Vermont. What is it?
58 points for Lenore's team, 63 for Barry's team, so it's close. Let's see what happens. When I arrived at the club yesterday, I was handed an envelope. Turns out Jim Gilhooly and Gloria Deal, suspiciously from Georgia, Vermont, had an interesting twist on a Vermont round of Odd Man Out.
Uh-oh.
They are in the front row today. You don't like this question? I'll point out their seats. A word associated with Vermont precedes each word in the following list. All that is but one. 5 points for identifying the odd man out, five more for telling me why. For example, if I gave you the list team, house, land, yard, and foot, you might realize that the word farm comes before farm team, farmhouse, farmland, farmyard, but I couldn't think of a farm foot that really fit the bill there. Try this one, Carolyn.
All right.
Stain, S-T-A-I-N. Salt, S-A-L-T. Sugar. Leaf. And syrup.
Okay, the odd man out is salt.
And why is that?
Because there's no maple salt.
There is no maple salt. 10 points. These will get progressively harder, so let's keep working on it. Try this one, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
What's the odd one out and why? Back, B-A-C-K, of course. Hip. Thumb.
Oh.
Room. And horn. Mm-hmm.
Well, you got your green back, your green thumb, your green room, and horn.
Green horn.
Green horn, so it's
hip. Green hip.
Is the
green,
hip.
Green hip, I mean.
That's exactly right. The key Vermont word is green. And, of course, the odd one out is I couldn't think of a green hip either, although.
Well, it's actually used for environmentalists who like jazz. They are among the green hips.
That's going to be edited out for a totally different reason than normally. Try this one, Murray. Hawk. H-A-W-K. Bird. Hand. Lick. L-I-C-K. And slip.
Wow.
Hawk, bird. I told you they get progressively
harder. Yeah.
Hawk, bird, hand, lick, and slip.
Cheddar hawk.
I was thinking that.
Cheddar. Old cheddar hand. Here comes cheddar hand.
Yes. Bird call.
Ooh.
Moose hawk.
No, hold on a second.
Bird call.
What? No.
Give him a second here.
Oh!
Ooh,
wait,
what?
Oh,
right! Good
it's
for you.
Cow. Cowbird.
So the odd one's hawk is the odd man out.
That's exactly right.
Well done.
10 points.
Lenore Shannon, ladies and gentlemen.
Try this one, Francine. Jump.
Oh.
Ski.
Yeah.
I hate to say this. He's absolutely right. Jump, run, tree, trail, and run. Oh, my goodness, you're right.
Oh!
All right. Allow me to read the list now that I've blown the question. Jump, run, tree, trail, and
tree.
Run.
Tree.
tree is
there
the
is
odd
no
one.
There is no ski tree.
There's no ski tree that we know
not
of.
Not with
so.
Safe skiing, anyway.
Yes, that's the 10 points you won. All right, try this one, Lenore. What's the odd one out? Bank. B-A-N-K. Job.
Yeah. Snow.
Snow, it's snow. So what's
cap.
The
yeah. Fence.
Fence is the
other. And coin.
Snow coin is not a word.
Snow coin.
Yeah.
It's exactly right. They're killing you. They're just killing you on this one, Jim. But this is a great category. I really like this. And finally, Barry, I think there's nothing resting on this but the whole game. So don't, you know, no pressure. What's the odd one out and why? Snake. Weed. W-E-E-D. Dog. Man. And run.
Oh.
Snake, weed, dog, man, and run.
Yeah, I think so.
Dog? There's dog weed, but I guess dog would be the odd man out in that. But it must not be dog. Garden man, garden run, no. Vermonti.
Does it have anything to do with quilt?
No. Oh, we might get them on the end here.
There's ice cream, maple, maple man. No.
Well, take a. So you got to get some points. So take a shot at what the odd one out is.
Oh, yeah.
The odd
oh,
man
yeah.
out yep. would be dog.
Sled.
The odd man out is dog. That's 5 points.
Okay. Tony, take
why?
A.
Why?
Well, I was going to say sled, but that, that would be wrong. Okay.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope, we got
all right. So snake, weed, man, and run have one thing in common.
I think the other side have it. You
cheddar,
got it?
Snake, cheddar, weed, cheddar, man.
Cheddar.
Cheddar, run. Run, cheddar, run. It's what. Isn't that what you people here use in the
I
first grade?
I don't think they're going to get it. I'm going to have to go to the other side for.
Lactose.
There is no milk dog.
Milk.
There is no milk dog.
Oh,
that is correct.
Milkman, milk dog.
That means, oh my goodness gracious,
Another tie means
that for the second time in our stay in Vermont, we have a tie to end this game. 88 for both points. 88 points for both teams. Congratulations. Wow.
I feel like I've just kissed my sister.
Yeah, there you go. That's all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Tim Link and all the folks here at the Basin Harbor Club. Also to Ty Robertson, Robin Turnow, and all the good folks at Vermont Public Radio for their long friendship. Yes, sir. Richard Scher and Philip Salkind are the writers. Antonio Oliart mans those meters. And Zach Moore is the associate producer and webmaster. So long from Vermont, where in Barrie, all residents are required to bathe on Saturday night. And whistling underwater is strictly forbidden. We don't know why, but thanks for the hospitality, Vermont, and we'll see you all next week. Support for CEJU in Vermont comes from the good folks at Vermont Public Radio and the Basin Harbor Club, celebrating 125 years of hospitality on the shores of Lake Champlain. On the web at basinharbor.com. You can hear CEJU again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at CEJU.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
CEJU, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
You've been listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville.
You can find a complete schedule for all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org.
United Way will host Stuff the Bus Day of Action Friday, July 29th. Local businesses and their employees are invited to volunteer and help prepare underprivileged Nashville area school children start off their school year strong, encouraging them to stay in school through graduation. More information on how a business can help is available online at UnitedWayNashville.org.
Nashville weather for today, scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 1 o'clock today. Partly sunny skies in the high and the lower 90s. Right now, it's 84 degrees in Nashville, and the time is 10 o'clock, Studio 360.